We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Good morning, Paul Hamilton. How are you? Paul?
Sorry about that. Something happened in my little unit here, but it looks like we're good now.
I won't say anything that I'm thinking. Go ahead, Jeremy, ask your question.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Mr. Hamilton is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, relax, we got this. PM joining us on the Western Hotline. You want to talk Sabres? 803-0550. It's actually fun to do that now. Good morning, Paul. Happy Friday.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's, you know, watching the Sabres is not drudgery, Paul. This is refreshing. I actually look forward to having you on the show now.
So, you know, when you get up in the morning, it's not a bad when you go back and watch the game?
No. This is enjoyable. They're playing some fun hockey, Paul. It really, and, you know, we got a lot to get to you on that, but the young kids playing well. But yeah, it's just nice to see the way they're playing right now.
I think one of the reasons they're playing that way is they're having fun. I mean, look at them out there. You know, they seem to enjoy, you know, being out there and enjoy, you know, playing the game. And, you know, that's part of it, too. I mean, if it's drudgery for you, you know, you're probably not going to do well.
What? Okay, so, I mean, you win, you're going to have fun. I mean, and you lose, you're not going to have fun. But it goes beyond that, obviously. Don Granato, Jeremy and I were talking earlier about, you know, a number of things he says, whether it's his weekly interview with us or, the comments we see from you and other reporters tweeting it out on Zoom calls. Here he's, you know, talking about, you know, you can't play a system for the sake of saying you have a system. Guys should have fun playing the game. Last night after the game, he's talking about, this is why I love offense. If you play offense and you have the puck, you don't have to worry about defense. How much of what he and Matt Ellis and Dan Girardi are doing has led to that whole fun thing?
Well, they're having fun because they're going out there and playing and doing the things that they do best. You know, it's not like, well, I don't know what I'm doing out here. He's telling me to do this, but I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, they're going out there and go, oh, wait a minute. You know, I'm good at this part of the game, and he's telling me to go out and do this.
Yeah.
And I get to go out and do things that I'm good at. And then my left winger gets to go out and do things he's good at. And then my right winger gets to go out and do things he's good at. And then we take our strengths and we mold them together into a game plan. And, you know, that's what I think makes it fun for them and makes look forward to playing and gives them confidence that, you know, if we go out and do the things we're good at, we're going to have a good game and we're going to have a chance to win that game.
And I feel like your comment, what you just said, I think goes back to something that Kevin Adams said, not yesterday. The Zoom call he had, I think it was earlier this week, I don't know. He said something about, when he was asked about what he sees from Granato and what he likes about this team, he mentioned we have a better understanding of what we're doing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're all plugged in together. I mean, you used to hear Kruger, as bad as they played, but he would sit there and try to tell you how, well, you know, we're all one, and we all sit there in meetings, and we're all together and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, no, did you watch the game? You're not all together. I mean, they're not doing what you're asking them to do. They probably can't do what you're asking them to do. So that's the thing. He kept saying how together they were and everything, and it just wasn't true. They weren't.
Paul, Is there a lesson to be learned about this coaching change for either Kevin Adams or the Pegulas? Because, you know, the one thing I think this organization has been to do with coaches is slow to act. And even though this change happened and just about everybody seems to be really happy with how it's gone, it did happen too late. The season was dead. Is there, for either the Pegulas or Kevin Adams, you think they take away, hey, maybe we should quickly identify if something's not working and not be afraid to pull a trigger on a trade sooner, or not a trade, any decision sooner?
Well, I think they're to a point where they want to stop the changeover. They just want to stop changing coaches all the time, and they want to stop changing GMs all the time, and so they want to give it time to work. You know what I'm saying? And let's give it some time. You know, it could work here or it could work there or whatever. We can't keep changing coaches. And they have a point. To a point, they have a point. But if it's not working, it's not working.
Right. The enemy isn't the change. The enemy is the losing.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got – it comes to a point where you've got to say to yourself, you know, it was the same thing on the football team for many years. You know, well, I'm sorry. You know, it's hard to admit that Rex Ryan pulled one over on you, but he did. And it was pretty obvious pretty quickly that Rex Ryan had pulled one over on him. And, you know, so, you know, I do understand where they're coming from with that. But, you know, as you said, sometimes you're just – you're drowning, and you need a lifeline.
How excited should I be about Mittelstadt right now?
Hey, the kid's coming to play, and you know we were told that he couldn't play center and wouldn't play center ever in the NHL because he's a winger. And guess what? He has really excelled since playing center, and I think that's one thing that Adams has to figure out now. You know, as he moves forward to try to figure out, all right, how are we going to put together a team? I mean, going forward, Eichel, Cousins, and Mittelstadt. And you got to sit down and say to yourself, can I win with that? Can I build around that? I mean, can that be, you know, what when we become a good team, can those three be our top centermen? And we can go right to the defense and say the same thing. You know, Bryson's doing really well. Borgen did really well. So, okay, you know, you keep McCabe and Ristolainen because they were really good this year. And then you've got Dahlin and Joakim Harju. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Bryson and Borgen. And you got Samuelsson playing very well to a point where he's so improved this year. Some people think he can be in the NHL right now. Well, okay, you've got all that. You look at those seven defensemen. Can you win with those seven defensemen? Can you be a championship team if you build around those seven defensemen? And that's what Adams has to sit down and figure out as he moves forward. Because I don't think they're there yet. I think there's still things that have to be done to the roster. But, I mean, you look at what's happening now. I mean, as a bottom six line, can, like, Mittelstadt, Asplund, and Thompson be that for you and produce for you and be part of a championship team where – you know, you've got maybe an energy line as one of your bottom six, and you've got them as the other line on your bottom six. And then you got Cousins and Eichel centering your top six lines, or your top six guys, your top two lines. I mean, that's what they have to look at. Is this a mirage? Or, you know, is this really what you can do going forward to be a good team?
And they'll have a little bit of money to spend. You know, I've seen, Paul, a couple of mock lineups and piecing it together for next year. Dahlin's going to eat up some of that money. Reinhardt, if they sign him, is going to eat up some of that money. But they will have room to and Ullmark, of course, too, if you re-sign him. But, you know, Colin Miller and Ristolainen are right at the top of this list if they can shed that money. They're not completely, you know, strung up. They've got the opportunity to make some moves and make some minor tweaks. You know, this year they added Hall and Reeder and Eakin and – I mean, I don't know if they're going to get the next Taylor Hall, and I certainly don't want them to get the next Cody Eakin, but they have some flexibility. So next year's roster, with a lot of the pieces you mentioned, you know, championship. I don't know. That's been something we've all wanted. I think I'd settle for a playoff roster at this point. You know,
But that's what they have to look at, because these are young kids that I brought up. You know, so you're building building for the future if you commit to them. I wouldn't move Ristolainen right now. You know, if I think I would build on what you saw, and you know, have, you know, because the rest of the guys are fairly young, and you know, have McCabe and Ristolainen as your veteran pair, and then you know, you've got the kids around them as you go forward. As I'm looking for a spot to improve, and I know he's got 12 goals, but you know, Victor Olsson might be the first place I look.
Yeah.
You know, because he's better under Granato. I mean, his 5-on-5 is better. He's not doing as much floating around looking for a one-timer the whole game. He is a little bit more engaged along the walls. You know, you see him win a battle or two and actually produce a turnover or two and do that. But, you know, could that be one of the places where you improve? But, you know, he just hasn't convinced me that he's anything really more than a power play specialist. And all right, you're going to dress a power play specialist and stick him on your last line with Oposo and Eakin. I mean, you're because those guys, the Sabres are not buyout people. They weren't under Botterill, and I don't think they are under Adams. So those two are back. And as far as I'm concerned, all right, if Eakin's back, he can be the number 22 or number 23 guy on the roster, and he can watch. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't be looking to have him in the lineup doing all that much. But is that where you'd want to stick Olsson on a line with them? And then when you have a power play, you throw him out for that. And even now on the power play, that people have figured it out, and he's not scoring on the power play anymore. But he does have 12 goals. You give him that. But with the rest of his play, if I'm looking to add to the team and improve there, that might be one of the places I would.
Paul with us here, 803-0550. In the discussion of the young guys playing well, you know, we've been talking a lot about Dahlin lately, Paul, and he now looks like a player who wants the puck. There were times earlier this season where he looked so timid and worried that if you give me the puck, I'll cough it up. And specifically in the offensive zone, he's demonstrating the puck on a string ability right now.
Yeah, exactly, because he's not afraid to try something.
Yep.
He'd be afraid to try that because he'd get yelled at you can't do that. What if they knock that off your stick and go the other way? And, well, what if he pulls off a brilliant move and winds up scoring a goal or help scoring a goal? You know, you can look at it that way too. So, you know, and if Joki Haru is used to Rasmus, you know, pulling a move like that or something else, he can have it in the back of his mind. Well, if something happens, I can help Rasmus out. You know, I can be the guy back, you know, that, all right, he may try a high danger move here, but I know that. And all right, if it turns into a disaster, I can kind of help my teammate out here.
The other guy I wanted to ask you about is Bjork, who got a goal last night. Nice shot, nice goal. Got just under 19 minutes of ice time. I think I saw him getting some penalty killing time. Can you talk a little bit about his? I mean, I'm not going to go overboard. It's two games, but what you're seeing from him and what he might be able to add, especially on a rather intriguing line with Ruotsalainen and Cousins.
Yeah, he is doing some penalty killing for them and did a nice job to cause the Capitals to give up the puck on the shorthanded goal by Mittelstadt. He's got 3 points in two games. Now, I'm not expecting that kind of production out of him as he goes along. Mm-hmm. Plus, he had the overtime winner on his stick in Boston, and he made one extra move with the puck and wound up skating by the net, but almost had the overtime winner there. So, you know, he's energized right now and feeling good about his game. And you notice him around just to play. You know, Cousins makes a great play to set him up for his goal, but he also had to give Cousins some place to go with the puck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has to make himself available to Cousins so that when Cousins comes out with the puck, he has a place to go with it. And he did that. He found the open area and, you know, wound up getting the pass and wound up scoring the goal. So, you know, he's excited about what he's doing now, and that could be part of him playing well, and also could be he's being given a chance to do things that he wasn't given a chance to do in Boston because of the lineup Boston had. You know, he's not going to be playing with Marchand and Bergeron and or Pasternak. You know, that's other, you know, he's just not going to get that opportunity. But, you know, he's learning quickly what a good player Cousins is and what a smart player Cousins is. If he didn't know it already, he knows it now.
The last thing I want to bring up before I let you go is UPL. So is it possible we're going to see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen this weekend?
It is. He's been injured. That's why they had an exemption. They didn't have a practice or taxi squad goalie last night because they didn't have one in the organization. There was no signed goaltender that could be there to be the taxi squad goaltender. Because Luukkonen has had a small injury, he apparently practiced with the Amerks yesterday. Adams said it went well from what he had heard. So they're hoping if it turns out that Allmark and Hutton can't be around for today's practice or whatever it might be, that Luukkonen is ready to at least take the role now and maybe play a game on the weekend. You know, you have back-to-backs against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You have three games in four nights. And so there's a very real possibility if he's healthy, he could get one of those two games.
Very good. All right. Nice job there, Mr. Hamilton. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up with you on Monday.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.